Crunch Time! You're listening to Crunch Time on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Crunch Time! All right, Kansas City, welcome to Crunch Time. Tim Grunot, Frank Bull. It is a Wednesday, a soggy Wednesday here in Kansas City. And Frank, I went out to try to play a little bit of golf today and got rained out as the rivers were flowing down the fairways. And I have enough problems with hitting my balls into rivers, let alone in the middle of fairways, so I decided not to play. But
it's a good idea.
Yeah, if you guys are driving around right now and it's raining where you're at and you're looking for something to do, CBD American Shamans are open, 30% off all CBD products right now. But remember, CBD Night and CBD Go are the hot new products, and there's going to be here in the next... I talked to Jamie, and I said either this weekend or coming up, there's going to be huge sales. But right now, you could go in and get 30% off anyways. There's probably no better sale than that.
Perfect.
But CBD Night, which helps you get the sleep, CBDN, and then CBD Go, which is CBG, is awesome products. I take CBG every morning and CBN every night. So I bookend my day with CBD products, and then in the middle, a lot of anti-inflammatory cream, as I've been limping around a lot lately. I don't know if it's the weather.
You have been limping around.
I know.
I thought you got all that fixed.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
Just bathe in the topical.
But I don't know what's going on with the NFL right now. There are a bunch of guys that are saying, no, thank you. I do not want to play. You know, there's six guys from the New England Patriots who have opted out. You have Dante Hightower, Patrick Chung, and Marcus Cannon. Now, there's been a couple other guys who have just decided that they're going to opt out too. Now, Marcus Cannon, and there's there's another offensive tackle that he had cancer. Marcus Cannon had cancer. And the one guy, boy, he had cancer, and his son is fighting cancer right now, and he just wouldn't want to take that chance. And I completely absolutely understand why you would not play if you are going to take a chance to bring something home that could get you or somebody in your home sick, and that would be just a horrible, horrible thing. But when it comes to opting out, that would be a really, really tough decision for me to make. I think that I would play. Now, listen, these guys are all men. They can make their decisions, and we're going to talk a little bit about a Kansas City Chief who's decided he's opting out.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, everybody's a man. You make a man's decision. You stand by your decision, and you go with it, whether it's because you are afraid to get sick or whether it's afraid to bring something home or whether it's just, you know what, I'm not putting the wear and tear on my legs when I can kind of opt out here and give myself an opportunity to take a year off and get healthy and go ahead and get a new contract next year. And then there's going to be some guys that do that. I'm not saying that that's right or wrong, but that's just what's going to happen. And I'm not sure that's what's going to happen right now with the Kansas City Chief, and you could talk about him.
Yeah, right. Damian Williams has opted out, the running back who, you know, was really close to being the Super Bowl MVP.
Mm-hmm.
For his stellar play during the Super Bowl. He was always a journeyman running back until he got into Andy Reid's offense and got in there with Patrick Mahomes, and obviously that was a big opportunity for him. He took total advantage of it. He will opt out for the 2020 season, says for personal reasons. The release was actually from Brett Veach. It really wasn't from Damian Williams, which is unusual because the other ones who have opted out have all had their own releases, I believe. They've all written their own release or had somebody write it for them under their name. But Damian Williams might have seen the writing on the wall, too. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, their first-round draft choice, coming out of LSU, is a three-down back. Okay, they say he can block. We'll find out if he can block on the NFL level, but the kid can block, and that's not the most important thing. Kid can run with the football. Kid can catch the football. The kid has electric speed and is a really, really good player. Damian Williams might have seen the writing on the wall that he would be relegated to spot duty, which would really drive down his stats. And then when he did become a free agent, that would not bode well for him as he moved on to another team. So he could be thinking that way, or, you know, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. He is opting out because of the fact that he just doesn't want to bring a disease home if that's what's going to happen. I really, you know, and I've said this for a long time, I don't know how they can control this in the NFL. I mean, if you're going to have zero tolerance for COVID-19, you are crazy because it isn't going to happen. You're going to get players who are going to test positive. They're going to have to sit probably for 10 days, whoever those players are. The Chiefs right now, they're doing good, but they're all in a bubble right now. They're all with their own teams and their own facilities, their own doctors. They're isolating those guys, and they're fine. But once they start moving out to practice with one another, guys start, you know, drifting off a campus maybe, and it might not even be a first-team guy. It might be some guy who doesn't have a chance or whatever. I don't know how you're going to police keeping everybody in every night. Go out and maybe bring that back to your team, which is not a good thing, and then they're just going to have to go from there. I don't know how they're going to police this without a bubble, and they can't put the NFL teams in a bubble because they're going to have to travel, just like Major League Baseball, from city to city to play their game.
Yeah, there's a lot of rules that the NFL came out with, which you can't go to bars, you know, with...
You can't go get chicken wings?
Yeah, you can't go get chicken wings.
You're not allowed to get any of those.
You can't go to nightclubs. You can't go to concerts.
You can't go to strip joints.
You can't go to strip joints.
Okay, let's just lay it on the line.
You can't go to other sporting events. Let's say
crowds,
which I'm not even sure if there's going to be any crowds in any other sporting event. But you can't do that. And there's also a stipulation with churches on 25%, which, you know, I go to mass, and you know, you can get it done, but you know, that's one of the rules that they have to make sure that they listen to. So here's my one thing, and I do know what I would have done, but if I was in this situation, which I'm not, so it's a little bit easier for me to make this decision because...
Well, it is your own decision.
Right.
Okay? You're not making this anybody else's mind. You're making it with Tim Grunhardt.
Right. If it was me, I would go out and play. I would. And because there's nobody that is sick in my household, thank God, and, you know, Sarah's parents... have some issues, and when we went and visited them, we social distanced and we wore masks, and it was weird and uncomfortable, but that's what we did because we wanted to make sure that they were healthy. My mom is here in town and she's healthy, and you know, so we don't wear masks around her. But you know, CJ, my oldest son, went down Little Lake with his girlfriend, and when my mom came over on Sunday night, I said, "Listen, you got to wear masks because we don't know what the hell you got down there." And, you know, and we got to separate, and we did that, and everything was cool. So there's ways of going about doing it. But my thing is this. If and I will talk about college football here in a minute, with the ACC has come out with what their schedule is going to be and what their rules and parameters are going to be. And guess what? That's what everybody's going to be. So the Big 12 will be that. So we're not just talking about Notre Dame football and the ACC.
But Tim does have an insight here, folks. You don't have to make excuses.
No, but I don't want people to think all I do is talk about Notre Dame and ACC. But the Big 12 is going to adapt. So will the SEC. They'll all adopt these rules because they're really good rules. And once one conference adopts it, everybody falls into place. That's usually the way it works. But I just don't understand why some of these players, unless you have a real specific problem, like you have cancer or someone in your family has cancer or diabetes in your immediate family that you're afraid to take something back, I just think that you have to give the NFL and the NFLPA, who have worked together here, a chance with the abundance of testing and the adjustments they made to the facilities and the weight room and the training room and the medical rooms and everything else. There was actually I didn't get a chance to watch it, but the Chiefs put out something with Donovan today.
That is just on now, I think, the readiness.
Right, and all the different things that you're going to have to go through. And, you know, if you're going to be a part of that union, just like a teacher's union, when the teacher's union say, hey, we're going to do this, this, and that to make sure that you're healthy, most of the teachers would probably go back because they just want to make sure that their union and the people behind them are sticking up for them, just like, you know, whatever union you want to think about. Well, that's the same thing with the NFL. So why these guys aren't giving this NFL a chance? Now, granted, now all of a sudden you go and, like you said, 18, 19 guys start testing positive, and then you say, man, I'm opting out of this. I mean, it's just not working. Then I understand that. But why not just give your NFL and your NFLPA a chance, because they've done a lot to try to make this work?
I agree totally. The NFLPA did approve all 32 clubs' infectious disease emergency response, you know, their response unit, and how all the teams have set up their response unit. And the teams will quarantine one player per position to guarantee a COVID-free player at that position. So, God forbid, say, Patrick Mahomes came down with COVID-19 and was isolated for 10 days and missed. There's another quarterback who has been isolated who will now come in, probably be Matt Moore. He might be Matt Moore, whatever. It's going to be a backup quarterback for him. There's going to be a backup center, a backup guard, backup tackle, backup tight end. They're gonna put one player from each position as COVID free, is to get him out of. He's gonna be in isolation, and every week until they figure out if they get a guy, then they'll bring him in. They'll be able to do all the stuff with him, via how are they
Zoom?
Zoom or whatever, Zoom practices, and being able to participate mentally but not physically, or be on his own going through the drills, going through the game plan, doing whatever he has to do. So it's going to be it's a whole interesting learning curve for me.
Wow.
It's going to be really interesting to see how they work that
out. Yeah, and you know, I know,
and I don't think, in just my opinion, I don't think they can get through the season with I don't think they can get through the season this way.
Yeah. I don't know. I really don't know. We'll see what happens with baseball. Hopefully that was an isolated incident, but the Marlins had made some poor decisions and went out and broke curfew, and then they didn't say anything, and then one guy or two guys
that was the worst
good.
Part. They didn't say anything.
Yeah.
They didn't tell the Phillies, opponent. They didn't tell anybody.
Right.
And then 18 guys ended up with it. Now, Philadelphia, no one's come down with it.
Right.
And they played Philly. So that was an interesting part of this. They played baseball games, had an infected player, and none of the Phillies, their opponent, got infected.
So, yeah, so, I mean, football is here for what we can count as football. And, you know, training camp has started. The Kansas City Chiefs are, I think, day two or day three of training camp. And the game is 43 days away against the Texans. So it's not your father's training camp, Frank. I mean, right now, most of these guys are just kind of going through walkthroughs and meetings with social distancing. Now, remember, if you didn't pass – two COVID tests, you're not allowed to be in the facility
at
all.
Yeah, not there at all.
So I think right now, I'm not sure if all the guys have been tested twice. I know the quarterbacks and the rookies and some of those guys have been tested twice, and they're in the facility. I did see some guys were pulling up to the facility, so whether I guess they passed both tests if they're pulling up and going into the facility. So that's going on, but, you know, and it's interesting because listening to some of the, especially some of the teams that have new coaches and a bunch of new players, I mean, they're making comments like, you know, we just got to get to know each other again.
Yeah.
And that's right now what's going on. Training camp right now for 90% of the teams out there is, hey, we're getting to know our coaches and we're getting to know our players that play next to us or guys in the locker room, or we're getting a feel for, you know, what the offense and what the defense and the game plan is going to be. You know, guys are going to be back in the building, and whether they got to pass those two tests. But the NFL has done a bunch of things to try to make this work, and let's hope that it does. But to your point, Frank, I mean, I don't know. I just don't know.
There's so much physical contact in this sport. Baseball, there's not that much. Basketball, hockey, MLS, they've all been in a bubble. That looks like it's been working. They're not getting any positive tests unless somebody goes out and gets wings. And they seem to, you know, have everybody crowd and have everybody on the same page. The Marlins thing might really make people, you know, sit up and pay attention. You know, this can't happen because you're not just ruining it for your own team. You're ruining it for the entire league. And you just look stupid doing it. You're just stupid. That's just a dumb thing to do.
Yeah, and so the NFL is kicking off. Now, the next thing we worry about is college football, because all of us are huge college football fans. And when we come back, we're going to talk with Jack Harry.
Yeah, I'll talk with Jack.
And I can't wait to talk to Jack.
Right, well,
you want to talk about Frank opinions?
Yeah. He's great. You know, Jack will tell you, though, he doesn't follow this stuff like he used to.
Yeah,
Yeah. And, he just doesn't follow like he used to, which is interesting to me as well. You spend your whole life in it, and then all of a sudden you just go, you know what? I'm tired.
Right.
I'm tired of this. And I know how he feels. I know how he feels. But I'm still in the middle of it with you and doing the show. But Jack just said, hey, you know, I just don't fall as much as I used to. But Jack, I know, has opinions about the Chiefs and all those things.
So I would love to ask him, and we're going to ask him what he thinks about some of these players opting out. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what he says about that.
Yeah.
But, guys, don't forget, CBD America Shaman, 30% off all stores right now, CBN, CB Go, all those products. You have the anti-inflammatories. You have the water solubles. You have the gummies. And they have these little, I don't know, cigarette things now that I don't know what they are, but it seems like a lot of people liked them. So,
Jed, you want to fill him in exactly what's going on?
Have you tried those little cigarette things with CBD in them yet?
I have not.
I'll bring some in for you.
Thank you. I would
you got it. We were down at our socially distanced deal at the lake, which they did a good. They really did a good job. But that's people came up, coming up and like, can I have these those cigarette things?
See those things back there?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
They're not joints. Just to let you know that they're CBD products. But I'm not sure if those guys knew that or not. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk with
the one and only
Jack Harry on Crunch Time. All right, welcome back to Crunch Time. It's Tim Grunhardt and Frank Bull. We're brought to you by CBD American Shaman, your place for great health and all kinds of great products. And Frank, you're bringing on one of the greatest guys in KC sports history.
He's
right up there with you, Frank. Both you guys.
He's so far ahead of me. 40 years. 40 years. Between the two of us, we were the sports directors at every TV station in the city except Channel 9, Jack. I can't figure that out. We never made it over to 9.
We just get kicked out of one and we crawl around, and then all of a sudden we've got another job. But man, I tell you, of all the years, you know, it's for me, it's going to be 50 years next month. I came here in 1970. So
wow.
Worked with a whole bunch of good guys. Frank, you know how that deal is. But I tell you what, and I really believe this is true. There aren't two guys in any one sports department that had more fun than you and I. I mean, it was crazy right to the end.
it was great. Now I've told this story 1,000 times, and I'll tell it 1,001. You saved my life when you when Channel 4 gave me the buyout, and you know they're really not giving you a buyout; they're really firing you for all practical purposes after all those years. It was 2009, and you came to me that next August in 2010 and say, "Hey, look. Why don't you come on over with me and we'll do Sunday nights during Chiefs season." And that's the way it started out. Come on over, we'll sit down. We had the best time ever, and that just morphed into working with you for 5 years over there. And then when you left, I stayed on for a couple more years. But you got me off the streets. You got me and kept me in the business, viable, and it was just awesome. It was great.
That's kind of you, but you know, you were a winner for us, and we knew it. And Peggy Phillip, longtime news director there, she's in Miami now, I guess, but I'll never forget that. We talked to her about it. She says, "What do you think about Frank Bull?" I said, "Oh, what do you mean, what do I think?" She says, "Well, you think you got room for him here?" I said, "Let's go get him." And all of a sudden, we were meeting at the 810 zone. Remember that?
The old 810 zone on the plaza, I remember.
On the plaza.
Yeah, you bet.
Excuse me, yeah. And it all worked out. But I tell you what, man, I don't think people have the fun today as they used to have, you know, and the way they run these TV stations, Frank, I sit back and I watch this stuff because I have plenty of time on my hands and I just see what's going on. People aren't having fun. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, go get it, man. It's not serious. It's sports. Don't worry about it. We're going to be fine. But anyhow, I'll never forget it. Great memories, no doubt about that.
Well, Jack, I have a unique opportunity to ask both you and Frank, because you guys were around for the pandemic, the Spanish flu in the early 1900s.
Sports? We both survived, too, okay? So we're still standing.
In 1918, when they were shutting down sports, what comparison do you see from that pandemic to this one?
Oh, my.
No, but in serious, Jack, did you ever think that you would see something like this with they pretty much shut all the spring sports down, whether it was baseball or even all the college sports, and then, you know, basketball, and now
hockey.
All of a sudden baseball's, you know, trying to come back, and football's in a state of flux. Did you ever think that you'd see anything like this, and what are your thoughts about how this whole process is going?
Yeah, I never have, Tim, really. I never even, you know, I talk to people from time to time. They say, "What do you think about this?" I say, you know, it blows my mind. It really does. And people have a very difficult time taking this stuff seriously. That's what 2 weeks ago, I with my family to Grand Lake down at Shangri-La in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I couldn't believe it. I didn't see any masks, very few masks. And then last week we were down in Branson, and the same thing there. And I'm saying, you know, I probably shouldn't be there. I'm 77 years old. But what I do, I try to stay away from big crowds, and I wash my hands and do all that kind of stuff. But what it's done to the sports world is just mind-blowing. And I see this baseball thing now, and that really bothers me. And you wonder right from the beginning, why in the world would they travel to go play in an empty stadium? I never could understand that. Right from the get-go, I said, why? Why do you do that, you know? And I think, you know, the NBA's got it right. If you're going to play, you know, I'm not saying they shouldn't play in that type of thing, but it is. It's just travesty, you know. I mean, what it's done to so many people and you know, lost so many lives. And the thing of it is, we don't have a handle on it. That's what's scary. I mean, this is America, man, you know. We're the best at everything. And, you know, they don't have a vaccine yet. I know they're working on it and that type of thing, but it's just mind-blowing to me, it really is.
Yeah, it is, Jack. 150,000 people now have died as a result of COVID-19. Now, whether reporting is exactly right or whatever, at least from the beginning of this till now, they're reporting 150,000 people dead. That's a pretty serious thing. I mean, that is three times the average of what the flu kills per year. And, you know, just a regular flu, that's bad enough as it is. But this thing has really been interesting. Let me get your thoughts on this. They're playing baseball. Of course, the Miami Marlins aren't because of what happened with them. But what do you think the chances are right now with playing a game like football with all the contact they have to go through?
I don't know how they're going to do it. I really don't. I'm not smart enough to figure that kind of stuff out, but how do you do that? And I mean, it's just like the baseball thing. The problem is not inside, it's the problem outside. If you're going to be traveling and you got 53 man roster, I mean, this is, I guess, are they going to give them more this year? I don't know. But I just don't see how it can be done. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm worried about college football as my son is going to be a senior this year. And, you know, we're going through all this, you know, do we go to games? Are there going to be games? Who's invited to games? All those kind of questions and trying to set schedules. And, you know, like you said, I don't particularly worry about the team itself. Now, you know, they've been together now at Notre Dame. They've been together and they've been quarantined and they've had two positive tests now in about a month and a half. But, you know, and you've been around college and you guys have covered a lot of college games and you guys know what it's like to go to
campus. We know what college is all about.
Yeah. So, you know, all of a sudden now you have 20,000, you know, at Notre Dame, 20,000 at you know, places like Wisconsin. And you got 60,000 students start to pour in. You know what happens if there's you know a pandemic on the campus?
How about walking across campus?
Yeah.
How about going to class? How right. about and saying
how
hello?
How are you going to quarantine a bunch of these college kids in dorms? I mean, you know, it's just I don't know how they do it. I really don't. It's going to really be interesting to see what happens, but. It's serious. I mean, we all know that, but just something of a magnitude that is hard to comprehend, really.
Yeah, and you're right, though. It's so sad that a lot of people aren't taking it as serious as they should because, you know, that's what's kind of holding everything back. And, you know, just wear a mask. I mean, I said this the other day, and somebody jumped on me for saying it, of course. I'm not sure why I wear a mask, whether it's for me or for you, but I wear a mask.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not smart enough to figure out whether it's because I'm protecting you or protecting me. And I don't think there's really any scientific facts out there about who's being protected. But when you wear a mask, at least you're giving yourself and giving other people a chance.
Yeah, I think that's the most important thing. I think that's why everybody wants you to wear a mask. You know, wear it. If it's going to help, it's going to help. Just it can't hurt. Okay, so wear the mask. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
So what I've heard, Jack, and I haven't said this to you yet either, Frank, is with college games right now, what you're going to have is you're going to have the students that are going to be invited to the games, and they're going to have an area where they sit, and they're going to have to be socially distanced, which is an issue right there.
Oh, sure it is.
And then the only other people that are going to be in these stadiums are kind of the people – and the faculty and then the parents of the players and the parents of the away team, and that's it. And they're saying maybe a lot of these places, 15,000 people. I mean, will that work? What do you guys think?
Yeah, I don't know. I just, it's perplexing. And I try to look at it. I'm like you, Timmy. I'm not smart enough, but I hear what all these – scientific people. I was watching CNN a little while today, and all these kids said this is serious stuff, man. Mm-hmm. We're not treating that way. And I mean, it's great to get back to life, to have sports and that type of thing, but you can't put people out there. I see where Damian Williams today opted out. I don't know what his backstory is to that, but I mean, it's, hey, you got a family, man. I don't know if I want to be exposed to all that stuff. And if you got kids, you want your kids to be exposed to it? I don't know. I just don't. I wish I had an answer or a better opinion, but I don't know. I can't understand it, guys.
Yeah, you're right, Jack. And it is perplexing. It is a situation where it's funny. We talk about this, and then I'll go look on Twitter, and they'll criticize the hell out of you because they think, oh, all you sports people don't want sports. You want this to fail. And I'm going, where do you get that in what we're talking about when this is how we make a living? It just, without sports, we don't make a living. So we can't make a living on continually talking about COVID-19. We make a living on games and results and, injuries and substitutions and, all that sort of thing. It's just crazy.
And a lot like you, Jack, and I've worked with you before many times, and we've done a lot of things together. We try to be positive people. I try to look at the positive. I try to be, I want this to happen. I want it to work. So I'm looking at it in a way that, hey, let's play football. Let's do this. But, nobody knows. So, Jack, talk to us a little bit about what you're up to now. I know you're doing a little traveling and
got his grandkids.
Yeah. Are you watching?
People say, how is that now? It's been about 5 years. And I say it's like six Saturdays and a Sunday every week. Now just imagine what you'd be doing. I've got 13 grandkids.
Wow.
Now. So that keeps me moving and popping around, and we sold our house in January and sold it to my daughter, who's got three kids. So we moved into an apartment, guys, and I have never been happier. Not very big. It's about 1,300 square feet, right? I don't have to worry about any damn yards to mow. I don't worry about changing bulbs. They do it all, And I just sit back. I get me some coffee in the morning, and in the afternoon, I was telling Frank about 4 o'clock, I'll pop a fresh one, maybe two of those, and then it's about time to eat at 5. Then when 9 o'clock rolls around, it's toes up, man. Yeah. It's a really, really exciting life.
Yeah. Jack, and I know, once you got out of it, we've talked about this before. Once you got out of it, you sort of, when you got away from both TV and radio, you're sort of out of the sports business. I know you're still a fan. I'm sure, you chased the Chiefs through the Super Bowl last year or whatever. But you don't really watch it the way you used to, with that kind of intensity anymore, do you?
And, I loved it all those years and great memories. But you're right, Frank. I kind of had to wean myself off, and I don't pay much attention. I really don't. I'll read some stuff, and the good thing about retiring, if you don't like something, you don't worry about it. If you turn TV on, you see something, you forget it. When we were working, we had to watch all that stuff. We had to watch all the sports to report on them, but I don't do that now, and I do a lot of reading and other stuff besides sports, but it's in my blood. It always will be, but it's a different deal now. It really is.
Yeah, and I will tell everybody out there, and I know anyone out there who is who has watched Jack in the past and, you know, followed his career all the way through, there is no one like you anymore in not only this market, but I don't see anyone like you or that would give an opinion, stand by it, and, you know, just take all the bullets. Maybe that's a bad way to put it, but have thick skin and just continue to do it because it's what you believed in. And there is no one that does that anymore. There's no one out there that has a real strong opinion about anything because they're a little bit afraid they get in trouble with either college administration or professional sports front office.
Yeah, you hit it right on the head, Frank. They're really, you know, it's like a muzzle on them. And I feel sorry for a lot of these people because a lot of them don't really have support right in front of them in their own building.
Right.
You know, the Chiefs have such an iron fist in this town. The Royals are getting that way. All these professional franchises want to dictate exactly. And if they don't like you, they get the word out to your superiors. And they don't want to hear all this bad stuff. And then they threaten to pull commercials and that type of thing. I was talking to a guy the other day. It'll never be the same. We were talking a little bit about Keatsman and, you know, what Kevin said. And Kevin goes on and states his opinion. People say, I miss that. I don't see that anymore. I don't see people really taking a stand. And that's the biggest thing. It really is. But, you know, hey, I will never forget. I read something by the greatest basketball coach in the world, John Wooden, and bless his soul. He says that, you know, when your past is more significant than your future, you're done. Get out of there.
Yeah.
Get out of the way.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of truth in that, you know.
Yeah, I had a guy tell me, it was Bill Burns, one of the original anchormen in the country, KDK in Pittsburgh, my old hometown. His son was a friend of mine, Mike. And I'd go in and talk to him and stuff. And then when I got into business, he called me on the phone and said, how you doing? What's happening? Doing all the thing. And I was just taken back by it. And he said, hey, I'm just going to give you one piece of advice. He said, just before you go on, if your palms stop sweating, he said, it's time for you to get out of the business. He said, because if you aren't excited or nervous or whatever about what you're doing, then you have lost your edge.
Yeah.
And I never forgot that.
Yeah. And the other thing, Jack, and stuff that people have to deal with now. And listen, social media is okay because you can get a lot of information at your fingertips. But
right.
There's just so much to it that is so negative and really, really mean and tough and I think that's affected a lot of the way people cover sports.
Yeah, I do, and that's too bad. It really is. But until they you got to have the people behind you. Frank, you remember I suspended. I worked my whole year, career and didn't have a problem. And at Channel 41, right at the end, I got suspended twice. And the first time I talked about the Royals and Cleveland Indians, and I called them the Engines, you know. And
yeah,
I
right.
grew up in Pittsfield, Illinois, and we were the Saki Indians. We had a little jersey warm-ups that said Engines on them. And they said, called me the next day and said, we're getting a lot of feedback on this. You need to get in here right now. So I go upstairs, you know, they got all the HR person and, you know, the general manager, the news director, and all that. And I said, well, can I ask you, let me ask you a question. What was the response like? Did you get a volume of calls? Well, we heard from three people. And I said, you're going to suspend me and cost me a week's pay? I said, that's it, you know.
Yeah, I know. I know. Boy, you really couldn't do that in this day and age. That would be the end then, Jack. You got it, buddy. Well, things have certainly changed. We love you. We appreciate you coming on with us tonight, and we might do this again down the road.
Yeah, good talk, you guys. Tim, good to hear from you again. And Frank, you're a survivor, buddy. Hang in there. Nobody like you in this sports business.
All okay? right, buddy.
You're right.
I love you, Jack.
All right.
I'll talk to
All
you.
All right, boys.
My man.
All right,
Captain
guys.
Jack.
We're willing to take a break. We're going to bring Dr. Jesse on. We're going to talk a little bit about the ACC and their testing program that they're going to go through. And when we talk about the ACC, listen, we're also talking about the Big 12, the SEC. All
yeah,
the conferences
all gonna
are going to fall
procedure.
Suit. So when we get back, we'll talk about some of these testing that the NFL is doing and college football is doing, and it's probably going to fall into high schools too. You're listening to Crunch Time. All right, welcome back to Crunch Time. It is Tim Grunhardt and Frank Ball. I want to thank Jack Carey for coming on and spending some time with us. Don't forget, CBD America Shaman stores are open right now. And if you want some CBN, which is an outstanding product to get night time, talk about toes up. Your toes will be up quick with CBN. And you want to talk about getting your toes going, a little tingling in your toes, CBG.
That's it.
Well, the CB go. And we have our famous and awesome Dr. Jesse Lopez on. Dr. Jesse, how you doing tonight?
Hey, everybody. I'm doing good. How are you?
All right. Well, the ACC has come out with what their parameters are going to be for the players to play this season. And the ACC is the start of it. The SEC will follow. The Big 12 will follow. They're going to have pretty much the same rules. Frank's going to go through those new rules and tell us what you think about these options and will it be able to keep football going in the fall.
Will it work, Dr. Jesse? Here we go. All team members, once the season starts. Now, remember, they've been in isolation pretty much here for a period of time as they get ready for the season. But once the season starts, they will be all tested weekly within 3 days of the game and get the results back before the game. All the positives have 10-day isolation period. They must report the positives to their opponent no later than 24 hours of receiving the result. And the interactions with the opponent must be shared, meaning if this kid played offensive center and he hit your linebacker, you're going to have to tell them on certain plays who they interacted with. That would be contact tracing. Basically, you could tell from the film what was going on. But what do you think about those testing rules?
I think it's all going to be so confusing that you won't know which end is up. I think there's a lot of difficulty in that. So let me ask you a question. Have you had the flu, Frank?
Oh, sure.
Tim, have you had the flu?
I don't think I ever had the true flu. No, I could say no, I have not had the flu.
Okay. So most of us have been exposed to it and have had it. I've had it. And I believe it's going to be the same thing with the coronavirus. There's no way around it because of the way that it moves through the population, just like any virus. And with the individuals that may be positive or asymptomatic may not necessarily be someone who's going to pass it on to someone else. So the question is, what are they going to do with all of this once it starts happening and somebody's coming up positive? Are they going to be canceling games? Are they going to isolate a team for 14 days? I mean, it's just going to get really difficult to control.
Yeah, there's some talk about having certain players, like, say, the second-team quarterback or the third-team quarterback will be in isolation, and then, you know, he'll be the guy that will step up and play.
If somebody is positive.
If somebody is positive.
Position.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but here's the thing, Doc, and you know there was actually you know some talk today. I was listening to some of the newscasts about you know just you know if there actually there was a poll out that said that most Americans think that 10% of our population have passed from the coronavirus. There's like 60% think that 10%, that would be 30 million people. But kind of the way that it's covered, people think, I mean, because they're talking about it all the time, 10%, you know, and they don't realize that 10% would be 30 million people. But, I mean, I'm not blaming anybody, but there's just so much information out there that the people are scared to death.
There's total misinformation. Let me give you a great example. Let's take the state of Kansas, for example. There have been confirmed 335 deaths out of a population of 2,744,000 individuals. So if you take that and you calculate the mortality rate, it comes up to be 0.012%.
Right.
That's your chance as a Kansas, as a Kansan, of dying just being around COVID. That's the risk. It's so low that it's kind of blowing my mind about what we're doing. Now, the other thing, the Kansas Association of Osteopathic Medicine just sent out one of their emails to all the docs talking about the coronavirus. Of the 335 deaths, half of those have been in long-term care facilities.
Right.
Obviously, any death is horrible, right? But it's affecting those that are seriously compromised, and a lot of them are already at end of life. So if you look at that, that means there's about 115 maybe deaths of those that are in the general community, 115 out of 2.7 million. So I think the numbers are being fairly shared with the American people, and so it's creating this delusion that 10% of our population has died from COVID, and that's not the case. And, you know, I'm in the hospital. I'm in the clinic. We don't get tested every week. We don't test at all. Why are they testing the football players this way? I'm in close contact with my patients every day. I do surgery on my patients. I make rounds on my patients. The nurses see their patients. We only test if we believe we're symptomatic.
And you would only test also if you thought you came in contact with it. You know, later maybe you had a patient come in, they call back to the office and said, hey, I tested positive for COVID-19.
Well, yes. You know, but the thing is that depending on where they are in the process, you might not test positive for at least a week.
Yes, exactly. Okay, we're talking with Dr. Jesse Lopez, American Shaman Clinic, 110th and Metcalf, right behind the Applebee's. Go ahead, Doc. I'm sorry.
Well, one of the wonderful things that I learned in residency training as a board-certified trauma and general surgeon is don't do a test unless you know that you're going to be able to do something with it. And I believe a lot of these requirements and recommendations that they're making in sports is exactly along those lines. They're requiring all these tests, but they're really not going to know what to do with it. And you're going to just have teams potentially sidelined maybe over one case, and you're not going to have any kind of sports season.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, with all of these parameters they have in place and all these hoops they're going to have to jump through, what do you think the chances are of playing college and or professional football an entire season?
Well, they're going to be less and less with the rules like this. And so they really need to look at the data of the real mortality rates in terms of the total population. We're not being told what the real mortality rates are in terms of age groups, because I guarantee you the age groups that are suffering the morbidity and the mortality are in the older age groups of 70 or older. There's not been one reported case in Kansas of a death under the age of 18. Not one.
Hmm. Yeah.
And there are other states that are the same way. So there's a lot of hyperboil, a lot of political jockeying for position. We physicians in the trench, we want the real numbers, we want the real data to be told to the population. So really good decisions can be made.
Yeah,
right,
I mean,
now
it's
we're
just
making decisions based on fear.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, it's on the front of everybody's mind. That's for sure, yeah. Doc. And that's why we like having
you
come
on. Bring
you
on every week
to get a different perspective, because you really don't get that perspective. And you know, some people don't like that perspective, but you know what? We're giving you all the different perspectives, and you can make your decision.
That's right.
Well, my perspective is based on data. Science, mm-hmm. You can go to the Kansas Department of Health and the Environment and get the very data that I am telling you about. The data that I'm also telling you about, I got from the Johns Hopkins dashboard that has the constant count of the infections in each state and the number of deaths. So the data I'm sharing with you comes from those sources.
Hey, doctor, we
You're
appreciate
the best,
it.
Ma'am.
Dr. Jesse Lopez, American Shaman Clinic, 110th and Metcalf, behind the Applebee's. We'll check back in with you next week, Doc. Thanks.
Hey, thanks, brothers. Appreciate it. Have a good one.
You bet. You too.
All right, guys, we appreciate you listening. Be safe out there. Wear your masks and stay out of the rain. You're listening to
Crunch Time.